Our scripture lesson will be up on the screen, and we can share it together, or you can share it with me as I read it. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. You know, back in the days when Jesus was alive, they didn't have Hallmark cards. So I doubt that Jesus ever sent a card to his earthly father wishing him a happy Father's Day. In fact, I don't remember much about in the New Testament about Jesus' earthly father. Matthew tells us about Joseph's dream before Jesus was born, but that's just about the last we hear of him. Whenever Jesus speaks about his Father, it was about his heavenly Father, about whom he was speaking. He had a lot to say about his heavenly Father. That was his inspiration, his guide, his model, the one who led his decisions in life. And I have no doubt that one of the passages of his scriptures, which is our Old Testament, which meant a lot to Jesus, was the very first chapter of Genesis, a portion of which was read this morning. God created the night and the day, and it was good. God created the land and sea, and it was good. God created human beings, male and female. He created them, and it was very good. It's a wonderful story that said that even though we have problems and difficulties in our lives, life is good. Jesus believed this with his whole heart, and his actions in relation to the people he knew show that to be true. All that God created is good, and we can be thankful to be alive. Now, my perspective on Father's Day has changed a lot over the years. When I was young, Father's Day was a time I made a card for my father. He was a person from whom I learned a lot of things. Not that he intentionally taught me so much. It was just more a matter of observing how he lived. One of my last memories of my father was when he got involved in the committee that was planning this church. He was declining in health by the time the church began and was not as active in the planning as he would have been earlier. In fact, he died a year before this building was completed, so he never saw it. The church was still meeting in Lakeview Recreation Center, which was really not an appropriate setting for a memorial service, so Hartzell Cobbs had his funeral service at the Church of the Palms. Well, the role of father was changing for me in those times. By then, I was a father and was dealing with all the things you do as you seek to be a responsible father to your children. But I learned that things keep changing. And not too many years later, I realized that being a father meant that I was learning from my children and their generation. You go from learning from your father to trying to help your children learn to discovering that you're learning from your children. Now, in some ways, we find that very helpful. At least I do. When I have problems with my cell phone or computer, who do I call? My children or grandchildren. I'm sure many of you do the same thing. They know a lot more about technology than we ever will. But learning from the younger generation is not always easy. You know, I have to admit, I'm a bit old-fashioned, and I'm not always comfortable with some of the changes that I see taking place and the way I see happening. For example, I learned growing up that gay people were making a sinful choice for their life. The Bible made it clear that being gay was wrong, and that if you made a decision to be gay, you were making a bad choice. But over the years, I've learned that the younger generation did not think that way. My children accepted gay people without much of a problem. Their whole generation is far more open to gays than our generation has been. Sometimes, though, 20 or 30 years ago, I learned that being gay was not a choice, but something you discovered about yourself. A man of my son's generation told me a story about an experience he had in his senior year in high school. He was at an arts academy, and therefore they were living on campus. And he had a roommate that he liked. The kid was pretty popular among all the students, and his girlfriend was one of the prettiest girls on campus. My son was impressed with him. But one time, the other boy came home from an evening out with a disturbing story. He had met another boy that night and discovered that he had some very strong emotional feelings about him that he'd never had before. And he said, "Does that mean I'm gay?" He was upset about it. He'd grown up a conservative family, a religious family, where being gay was bad. He did not want to be gay. But he discovered that perhaps he was. And later on, he fully recognized the truth of that. For me, in learning that gay was not a choice, but something you discovered about yourself was a bit of a shock, because I quickly realized that if it was not a choice, but something you were born with, then it was the way God had created you. And as our scripture made clear, what God created is good. This was not the understanding I grew up with. It was new thought for me. Now, this whole subject became more personal when 3 or 4 years ago, we learned that our second grandchild was transgender. This issue was something that used to be out there. It suddenly became right here. Our beloved grandson, John, was now in the process of becoming our beloved granddaughter, Janelle. That took some getting used to. In fact, it still does. I wanted to learn about the subject a little better, so I took an online course from an organization called queertheology.com. As you can guess, the two leaders of the class were of the younger generation, probably in their early 30s. It seems like I'm always learning from the younger generation. But early in the course, somebody brought up one of the biblical passages that are negative about gay people. And the leader quickly said, "Oh, you mean one of the clobber passages." And I knew exactly what he meant. That caught my attention because I knew which passages he was talking about. But I also realized very quickly that when we share biblical passages with other people, the purpose isn't to clobber them over the head, but to help them understand God's love for them. That's the basic message of the Bible. Life is good, and God has love for you. The Bible is not about clobbering people. Now, in this course, they also brought up Genesis 1, the scripture passage that was read this morning. I read a part of it, not all of it, because it's pretty long. God created the night and day, and it was good. God created land and sea, and it was good. God created human beings, male and female, created them, and it was very good. But they took a closer look at this passage. Yes, God created the night and day, but there was an in-between time too. After night, there's sunrise, and after day is the dusk and the sunset, a beautiful in-between time. If any of you were outside about 7:45 last night, you would have seen a beautiful sunset, a great gift to us. The sunset, the sunrise, an in-between time. And God created land and sea. Our daughter, and interestingly, while I was sitting there in the front row, I received a phone call from her. Obviously, I knew what it was about. I quickly hung it up and texted her and told her, "I'll call you back when I get a chance." Oh, I told her I was at Sun City Christian Church. I was going to preach in a while. And then she texted me back and said, "Well, call me when you get an opportunity." And I said, "Well, I could call you soon and let you listen to my sermon, but I'll spare you that." And she texted back and said, "God bless you." And if you knew her, you'd knew the irony in that statement. But she lives in New York City, or near the end of Long Island Sound. And we visited her home recently. And when I got up in the morning and looked out of the window, there was land out there. The tide was low and we could see land. 5.5 hours later, the tide had come in and there was water outside of her wall. In between land and sea, there is an in-between. And God created human beings, male and female. And there are in-betweens. 90% of us in this world are basically either male or female. But about 10% of the people are in-between. Not quite fully male, not quite fully female. That's simply the way God did his creation. It's far more complex than I used to believe, and it's far more complex than I can understand. Now, I have some mixed feelings about this whole subject. I would not be very comfortable being part of a gay parade march. I'm too old-fashioned. But I do believe that the whole LGBT plus community should be treated fairly and equally with everyone else, and that God loves them every bit as much as God loves an old-fashioned person like me. I think the church should be supportive of them too. I've been to several churches where that include LGBT people, and frankly, they seem pretty normal to me when they're at church. It doesn't feel like a gay parade march. It's just like a normal congregation seeking to understand God's love for this. And I've learned all this from the younger generation. Sometimes I think I don't want to continue learning things, but I haven't figured out how to keep that from happening. So Father's Day has different aspects for me. Thinking back to my father, thinking back to fathering my children, thinking now of what I've learned from my children and their generation, and thinking of my Heavenly Father and how a world was created that is very good. As Genesis says, God created humans in his image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And like my Heavenly Father, with all the complexity I see in our world, I too am ready for a day of rest. Amen. Let us prepare our minds for our communion service coming up.
Let us break bread together.